12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised. Welcome to Beyond the Outer, a Mothership actual play brought to you by 12-Sided Stories.
Hello and welcome to Beyond the Outer, episode number one. My name is Wes Otis. I am here with some wonderful players. Let us start with Michelle.
Hello, I am Michelle and I will be playing Candela, your local teamster, at least one of them.
Hello, everyone. My name is Candace. My pronouns are they, she, and I will be playing the android Vaughn, they, them.
Hello, I'm Janine. My pronouns are she, her. I will be playing Rhea, teamster number two in the credits.
Hi, I'm Chrissy, she, they, and I will be playing Pira, the Marine, also she, they.
Before we start, we'd like you to know that this is our Patreon-exclusive game. The first two episodes are being uploaded to the main podcast feed for your enjoyment. If you like what you hear, join the 12-Sided Stories Patreon today for more exclusive content.
Welcome to the future. Humans have moved from their cradle on Earth into space. Earth is still there, still inhabited by the insanely rich, but is not a point of destination for most people. Too expensive to live as an Earther. Instead, humanity has spread out across countless parsecs where they have found new places to live, both space stations and planets to inhabit. There are religious cults, pirates, scavengers, and something lurking deep, deep in space. Ships will jump out to new parsecs to look for new resources and never get heard from again. People come back with scars they're not willing to tell you how they got. Whispers of monsters, whispers of horrors beyond any imagination. But humanity still goes, still pushes forward away from their cradle. Not everyone can live on Earth, you see. There's just too many of us. And, like I said, this is the future. We're going to jump straight in. Right now, Vaughn the android is floating in space among the debris of their ship. Around them are their friends, or at least pieces of them. They can look at the husk that they were once on. It exploded suddenly, came out of hyperspace. The engines all went up at once. In your right hand, Vaughn, is a chip that your friend Katie gave you, an engineer on the ship. For some reason, Katie wasn't off-put by you. She didn't have any issue with you being an android or any problems, and talked to you often. And as you float in space and you see Katie floating in separate directions, you reflect on that a bit. What does your character look like?
In human terms, my character is about 5'8", so about the size of an average human. They have a very kind of smooth silicone face that looks humanoid. It looks like someone has, you know, made a face, but there's seams kind of all throughout. And the skin itself doesn't look like real, like flesh. It looks like what a scientist's idea of flesh might look like. They have crystalline eyes that can like flash different colors. There's LEDs in there. Their skin is like a bronze color that has like kind of a hint of mica to it. So they have a very kind of shiny appearance to their person. And they wear a very plain kind of one-piece jumper. Whatever color it is indicates what they're supposed to be out there doing that day. So like if it's, you know, they're just flying from place to place, they might be in a white one. If they're gathering in a place that they know is going to be really dusty or, you know, is dark, they can put one on that's a different color. They're completely bald, no hair. And I think they're kind of there, just like their little space booties exposed, wondering exactly how they got there.
The only thing you remember, because androids don't have to do cryosleep, is doing your rounds on the ship and hearing an explosion somewhere in the engine compartment. And the next thing you knew, everything was being sucked out into space. The pods broken. Let's see. Tell me what. Do you have like mechanical repair or anything under that?
I have computers, mathematics, archaeology, biology, linguistics. Those are the ones I got.
Okay. You know what? Let's do mathematics.
Okay. 32. So I think that's good, right? You want to roll low?
Well, so computers would be hooked up to your intellect, I bet.
Yeah, so then I add them.
Then you add in, if you're trained, you get a plus 10. And then if it's a master, like if you have, it's a plus 15 and then a plus 20.
So then, yeah, that's a 61.
So as you're floating there, you start doing the calculations and you realize that more than likely there was a miscalculation in the jump and the amount of fuel that was needed and possibly the amount of pressure that the fuel was under. Now, you don't think this would have been done on purpose because anybody who did it would instantly be killed unless they were a fanatic, but you kind of log it back in your brain and, you know, you're looking down at this chip in your hand. Now, you do have a slot that this chip would fit in, but it's your choice. You have no idea what's on it. So she obviously wanted you to have it, but she never explained what it was.
Yeah, I think if knowing the dire straits that they're in, they're the only entity that can survive this mission, and then to wait for someone hopefully to come find them, I guess. I feel like they wouldn't hesitate to put it in because they're like, maybe this is something that can help.
So you click this chip in and you feel a really strange set of commands go throughout your system. Give me a sanity save if you would.
That's a 36.
Okay. And your sanity is, I think, a 40, right?
No, it's just a 20.
Oh, so you did not make it. All right. So quickly, this program is going through all of your files and kind of reworking some things. And the first thing you do is, let's see how many stress you take from this. You take 5 stress and you feel something you've never felt before. You feel scared and isolated. The chip is an emotion chip, and it is feeding into your main subroutine. You can take it out if you want.
Oh, man. I think I do. I think I take it out.
Okay.
Because, like, to Vaughn, that compromises the mission. With emotions, they have hierarchies.
Mm-hmm. Yep. You do remember Katie talking about how she wishes that you could feel, and that if you had the ability to interact with people in a more human way, then they wouldn't be as afraid of you or worried about what you're going to do.
Yeah, I think Vaughn turns it over in their finger and kind of takes one last look at Katie and pockets it.
All right, you pocket it. All right. We jump over to the other three. Really quick, I want to just go over what you all look like and what your job is on the Eon One, which is a salvage ship for Dark Star, a company that sends you out to basically pick over the bones of blown up ships. Let's start with Chrissy.
Well, Pyrrha's pretty tall, I would say probably 6'2"-ish. They're muscular, but in a ropey way, if that makes sense. And you would think at one point in time that they would qualify as pretty, but at this point, they could still look pretty, but age has caught up to them. You know, years of service have caught up to them. And at this point, she just perpetually looks tired. And she has shorter, darker hair. It's, in certain lights, it looks black, but it's just a dark brown. It's mostly shaved on the side. She does have a little bit of kind of flopped over top, and she has very startlingly green eyes. In a weird way, they're kind of unsettling. She has scars covering whatever parts of her body you can see at any point will have at least 2 or 3 scars. This includes her face. She's got some across her lip, one across one of her eyebrows, and then one just a nick under her chin. And yeah, that's Pyrrha.
Awesome. Pyrrha, what do you do as a Marine on your ship most of the time? What do you feel your role is? Your security, of course, but what do you really do most of the time?
Honestly, try to pretend to look busy so I don't have to do a whole lot of anything. She has an old ukulele that has a broken string. She can't hardly play it, but she's going to do it anyway. And I think at some point in time, she's gotten bored enough to make her own crossword puzzles. So just anything to make it look like she's doing something. If a little extra muscle is needed for something, then she'll jump in. But she doesn't really volunteer herself for effort. She's a guard dog. She's there for protection.
Nice. Okay, that's awesome. So right now, where do you think that you're looking busy? Are you up on deck or are you somewhere in the bowels of the ship smoking a cigar? Like what do you think you're doing?
Probably in the bowels of the ship. If she's going to smoke, she goes up to the deck for that, just so it's not stinking up the ship. It smells bad enough down here. But she probably tries to hide in the bowels of the ship because she's less likely to be asked for help in that regard.
That makes total sense. So right now you're in the bottom of the ship doing your thing. Janine, can you explain what your character looks like and what they would be doing at this moment in the ship?
So Rhea is like kind of a short, stocky black woman. She's always got her hair usually pulled back in a hairnet just to kind of keep it out of the way. But whenever she lets it loose, it's like a high and tight bob with like skin is shaved underneath. It's a very extreme bob. When the hairnet comes off and the hair is flying, that's how you know it's break time. And she's probably enjoying a little bit of a break right now. Nothing major is going on. So just in her bunk, jamming out, waiting for the next, like, not mission or anything, but like, she's not trying to hang out with anybody. She had her breakfast, she had her coffee. She's done. She's minding her own business.
That makes sense. Okay. Michelle, tell us what Candela is doing. And how close are you to your Teamster friend? And to your Marine friend, are you all close or what's the feel?
I think I've probably worked with Rhea before. And so I trust Rhea and, you know, I know that I can count on her in a pinch. I don't know if I've worked with Pyrrha before. Maybe once, I don't know. You know, but I think she's all right.
I think she probably was around for at least one trip with y'all.
Yeah. She's somebody I could sit and have a beer with, you know.
Where are you at right now, Candela? Where are you at?
I am probably in the, I don't know if we have a recreation area or whatever.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you have a recreation area.
Playing cards with somebody, you know, just passing the time because I'm off shift. I'm about like 5'4", little round. Okay, but most of it is muscle because I work hard. I've got short hair. You can tell that I've been doing this a long time and I don't bemoan my lot in life, you know, but it's nothing to write home about either. It's just one of those, okay, you know, let's get the job done.
Okay, so we're going to say that you're playing with the engineer. Her name is Zu. It's just Z-U. She's in her late 20s, probably like 29, 28, black, about 5'8", medium build, and very, very intelligent, knows the ship frontwards and back. Everybody has comms in their ear because it's just the easiest way to talk to everybody, and she listens, and she goes, well, we have a job. We got a signal from one of our trackers that says that the ship came out of hyperspace and exploded. Now, there are rumors around Darkstar that the owners set up ships to explode in hyperspace, killing most of the passengers. The trackers go off. Eon One shows up, picks over the bones. It is not something that is known for sure, but it seems that you all are able to land on ships with a relatively good track record pretty quickly. She goes, anyway, you need to go up to cryo. We all have to get into cryo sleep.
Damn, I was about to win too.
You weren't.
Let me have my dreams.
Okay, I will.
How long are we going to be in hyper?
You're probably going to be in hyper for about 2 weeks.
I've got some correspondence to send out. Be up in 10.
Okay.
Hey, before you put me down, I need a 5-letter word for fragrance.
Stink.
You know, I'll give it a shot.
That's Zeus says, you know, you can pick those up when we're in dry dock, right? I mean, there are crossword puzzles. I think they even have apps that you can get for your communicator.
Oh, yeah? You gonna give me a credit allowance for that?
Carry on.
That's what I thought.
You all jump into hyperspace. Let's jump back over to Vaughn. 2 weeks have gone by, and you've just been floating slowly away from the spacecraft that you were on. And you're in the debris field, but it is scattered pretty far. Would you have shut down for a couple of weeks? What would you have done in this situation?
Yeah, I imagine that, knowing that I was like a decommissioned military model, I have training in how to kind of preserve my batteries. So I imagine I'd probably leave on like a pilot light that could like have my eyes kind of flash red, like an SOS. So if someone sees from far away, they can see kind of like that shimmer in the darkness. But otherwise would probably power down everything else just so I can stay as long as possible. I imagine the frequencies probably also stay open. Like that's like the heart of the android is like trying to either relay and have them bounce back off of satellites that are nearby or ships that might be able to pass by and help.
Okay. You have found a way to kind of keep yourself from using up too much energy, but to know if a ship jumps in near you. And sure enough, after a couple of weeks, you get the sound of radio waves hitting your receiver. And it basically does a hard boot of like, oh, there's somebody here. And you suddenly wake up. Now, because this is a small operation, the only people who are not out in the salvage area grabbing stuff, you all are in spacesuits. You're out there grabbing stuff and pulling it in, trying to get the most valuable stuff. You pull a lot on and then it gets sifted through later. The only three people that aren't out there are Captain Hall. And I'm going to go through what they each look like as I'm going down just to kind of give you an idea. Captain Hall is a 52-year-old woman. She's 5'6", slim, darker skin with long braided hair and one red cyber eye. Okay. She lost her eye during a battle, and so she got it replaced. First Officer Tig is 38, non-binary, so they, them, olive skin, 5'9", short brown hair. This is their first mission as the first in command. So you all have noticed you're able to get away with more because they do not have the experience that others do. Okay. And finally is Dr. Inza, I-N-Z-A. He is male, 33, very pale skin, very skinny, and about 6'2", and he creeps you all the fuck out. He does not leave his laboratory very often, and he's always asking for samples. He doesn't care what those samples are. And he loves to buddy up to Pira. So Pira, he'll appear like a vampire out of nowhere and be like, have you killed anything lately? I could use your help in the lab.
Man, it's been a real uninteresting few weeks. I'll let you know. Could you step back about three steps? I'm always a little afraid that you got a needle hidden on you just somewhere, and I like my blood where it is. I've lost enough, thank you.
I would never do anything to you. You have so many scars. You're not the best subject. That's the word.
You know, they told me that my scars were going to be sexy for the ladies, but I guess this is another secret perk that I was not aware of. Thank you.
You're welcome. Vaughn, you look up, you see the ship up here out of hyperspace, and then you see them start to go through the debris field. And Candela, you see the red blinking lights of an android, and you know that your boss loves androids because they're good for certain tasks. They get stuff done that the rest of you are scared to do. And right now, you only have one android gunner who is literally a gunner. That's his job. All he does is shoot. So you know that the android would be something that they would like to bring on board. Do you want to head over?
Yeah, I see it. I'm like, Captain's going to like this. Maybe give me an extra couple of rations. So I go, you know, or maybe give me a bonus, right? So I go over towards Vaughn.
Okay. You're making your way through the debris field, and you do notice as you're just about to get to Vaughn's leg, because, you know, space is space, they're kind of floating in a certain way. And Candace, you can tell us what you do as you see them getting closer to you. But you then also notice what looks to be like a small stuffed animal, and it is just kind of floating there. But unlike everything else, you think that you see it kind of turn towards you a little bit as you're going by.
And I just kind of shake my head and go, oh, I'm probably still feeling the effects of hypersleep.
Okay. Vaughn, what are you going to do as this space-suited person gets close to you?
As this person approaches, I take a very relaxed position. I think before I was probably just like standing, like whatever body position I was in when this all exploded, I imagine I was probably still in that. But I think when Vaughn sees someone approach, there's kind of a relaxation, as much as a machine can relax. Arms kind of slightly bent, you know, loosey-goosey, so that they look more at ease. Face in a neutral to pleasant look. Nothing that's going to be too creepy where you're like finding this like terrible tragedy and this creature is smiling at you. It's welcoming. Like, it's a warm look without smiling. And I think the moment that you approach, the kind of like white light sort of dies down and it kind of flips to like a golden hue, like an amber kind of hue. The closer you get to Vaughn, their face is both kind of handsome and beautiful. They have kind of like fuller cheeks, a broad, flat nose, kind of flatter nose, very kind of black looking features, full lips. And if you look at it for a while, like it almost feels like it's looking back at you. Like it is looking back at you, but it feels more like looking at you.
All right, cool. Candela, tell me what you do.
I'm within reach of their leg.
Yeah, you have a big tether that goes all the way back to the main ship. You're on basically like a winch that you can control remotely. So as you're grabbing stuff, you just, because, you know, it's space, you pull stuff into the cargo bay and then they secure it. And once they re-establish gravity in that particular area, everything suddenly becomes really heavy and it kind of settles. So stacking stuff is dangerous. Like, you have to really Tetris it to make sure no one gets hurt.
I'm assuming I have a little speaker or something.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I go, hey, you want to get inside a ship instead of hanging out here?
Hello, variable android unit GH2. Yes, I would like to seek shelter aboard your ship.
All right. So, yeah, just take my hand.
Thank you.
They kind of pivot forward, but it's super awkward. Like, they like tuck their knees up to their chest and kind of bend backwards at the waist so that they're prone, so that they kind of change direction in the air. But it's all just lower body. Like, they're just kind of looking at you. And then when they're finally back in that position, they just kind of move forward towards you, holding out like one arm.
And Candela's just kind of like trying to figure out when to grab the hand because it's this awkward little ballet going on.
Yeah, they have like little thrusters, I imagine, to like meet you halfway.
Yeah.
Little spouts of like air.
So I grab their hand.
So you grab their hand and you start the winch back. They drop you off into the main cargo hold, and it's several hours of work ahead. Down in the bottom is Gunner when you get put on the ship. And Gunner looks at you, walks over. How long have you been there?
In the debris.
Yes.
Everything ended.
Their eyes flash like a bluish color back and forth in tone.
Approximately 2 weeks ago. Between 2 weeks, 2 months, 2 years, damage.
They will clear your circuits and your memory and fix your damage, but you won't remember.
There's already seemingly a lot I don't remember. I remember Christy. Katie. I remember hyperspace, powering down, and you.
And they point at Candela.
Gunner turns towards Candela and he goes, should I erase? Reboot?
We might want to ask the captain if she wants any information first.
Okay. So Gunner turns back to you, Vaughn, and says, we will see the captain now.
All right. Protocol.
All right. The rest of you are out in this debris field looking around. And you're noticing that there seems to be a lot of, it's hard to call it contraband because everybody's packing, everybody does a certain amount of drugs because of the situation that we all live in space. But there seems to be a lot of illegal substances in crates. So this was definitely a ship that was selling stuff on the black market. A lot of the independent stations have strict laws against certain things. And of course, those certain things can be sold for a lot of money. And I'm going to say that Pyrrha and Rhea are out there looking at all this stuff. Do you all skim off the top ever?
So Rhea kind of passes a glance over at Pyrrha, gives a little wink, and starts. Obviously, this stuff will be all taken back, but definitely picking up a few of her favorite things, you know?
The boss makes a dollar, I make a dime. Da, 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 da.
I'm a guard dog, not a watchdog. You don't gotta worry about me.
And some for my friend. Da, 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 da.
There are no issues loading up the rest of the cargo. It goes pretty easily. You spend, like I say, several hours, maybe even a couple of days at the site. During this time, I'm going to ask real quick, Vaughn, the captain's definitely going to want to wipe your memory, but I'm going to leave it up to you on whether or not you're going to submit to that or not. It's your call.
I think that they'll allow it, but with the understanding that their memory is what they can actively remember at this moment, and there are pieces of them that they haven't been able to like work through. So I feel like it makes sense to have for them to submit to the wipe. Like, they're not precious about it. Everybody is dead. But at the same time, there's things that currently powering back up they might not have access to. So I feel like that, and then the memory of Katie, they would keep because Katie gave them like their name. I mean, their name is really just written on the side of them. The two looks like an N, but that's what she called them. So I think they'd hold on to that moment.
So you back those up to grab them later. Okay.
Yeah. Anything that I can't actively recall, I back up. Everything else, I'm just like, whatever, delete it.
Okay.
It's protocol.
Protocol. So yeah, they wipe your memory and you reinstall those particular algorithms that tell you about Katie. All of you get back in the ship and you jump back to the Dark Star salvage yard or station. Now, each of these stations, basically, even though there's a certain amount of people working, it's kind of like old Roman forts where, sure, the Roman soldiers are there, but so is a whole town of people just outside of the garrison walls who have businesses and families and everything else kind of built up around the fort. It's the same thing with the stations. Yes, a lot of people work for Darkstar, but a lot of them are just regular people, you know, making their money and doing jobs. It is a large station. It is pretty huge. Now, the guy who owns Darkstar is Lars Smolt. And Lars is 6 foot tall, heavy set, bald. He always has a cigarette in his mouth and usually 3 or 4 sex workers nearby. He owns the entire facility, so he's able to afford a lot. I put that he lives a life of sex, drugs, and neon jazz. So that kind of kicked in my brain of like just this, you know, cyberpunky kind of dude running a huge station. He always has on some kind of armor, some kind of suit, and he's always with usually 1 or 2 Marines. Pyrrha, you have probably done some bodyguard work for him at one point or another. So that probably happened. Now, why you guys are in port, you're kind of just, let's say, in the mess hall. And I'm going to say, Vaughn, you're there as well. Now, there were a lot of things that you were able to kind of skim off of. I mean, you've got this new android sitting there. What do you think you would talk about? And do you trust androids?
Ah, oh, hell, Candela, you always get the good pulls.
Well, you know, just lucky, I guess. And I wink.
What'd you get for this one?
May have gotten some extra credits floating my way.
I'm clearly making a point to talk about them like they're not right there. I'm just like, hopefully it'll be useful. Gunners. Ugh.
A gunner's a gunner. That's what it's designed for.
Yeah, how often do we get ourselves into scrapes where it's actually useful? It's been a while.
I don't know, with all these ships exploding.
Yeah, I have some thoughts about that.
Might need a gunner.
I don't know if we need gunners or if we need to find new work. The people whose ships keep blowing up need to find new work, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, it just makes me nervous. Anybody's ship could be next, you know what I mean?
Puff, I think they'd blow me up as if. I'm almost done with this shithole.
What are your thoughts? You think it's pirates? You think it's sabotage? What do you think it is?
I think there's a little bit of tinkering going on in engineering that shouldn't be going on in some of these companies.
I wouldn't doubt that. Not for a minute.
Yeah, I have full faith in Zoo, so good to go.
Yeah, Zoo's all right. So, Vaughn, I know you don't remember anything, but can you tell us anything about yourself?
Yes, I am Vaughn, Variable Android Unit GH2. I don't know how old I am. I used to work for the military, classified, and I had a really good time. I think now I'm here. I'm without my crew. I'm without Katie. I'm looking for new friends.
Was Katie your friend?
Yes, we were very close. She worked on me.
Uh-huh. All right, then. Yeah.
I swear these science officers don't know where to stop sometimes.
I'll never understand it.
Would it help if I were less like this? More like you? Or would that make it worse?
What are they talking about?
I got no problem with androids. I really don't, you know. But, I don't know. I guess it's just hard to imagine being friends with an android.
Well, friendship is when someone will do anything for you because you ask them and you have a connection. You and I now have a connection.
Let me stop you there. Any of your friends that are telling you that are definitely what I would like to call users. Which, hey, you are built to be used, so I suppose. But don't be mistaken. That's not how friendship works.
How do you decide who's your friend?
Who do I trust to have my back?
Yeah.
Mine usually have a pulse.
Not required.
I have a recording that simulates a pulse, if it makes you more comfortable.
Absolutely not.
I know a lot of women who are best friends with things that run on batteries.
Oh, I do have programs for that.
Fascinating. And you were with the military?
Yes, the next place that I was. I can't remember. They were experimenting with things to make me become more lifelike and more useful to the average human, rather than just the military.
Interesting.
Reentry program.
Like I said, we can be friends. And if it's easier for me to be a lot more like you, Katie did give me something that I think could help.
Vaughn holds out the cartridge.
What is this?
It's feelings.
Whoa.
I don't know how I feel.
I didn't want to put it in case it scared you. I thought they might be a little bit afraid if I'm just like them. They've never met androids like that before. Unless you have.
I didn't think that was possible for androids to have feelings.
Well, I don't, but with this...
Do you want to have feelings?
Feelings can complicate the mission. If you programmed me to carry something out, you'd want me to do it, no matter how I felt about each of you. With feelings, I think my logic might be flawed, but I can do it, if that's what you want.
I feel like you might feel like you had some entitlement to some retribution against your makers and or humans, so I think that you should just leave that for your next assignment, because we are definitely... We're not taking this thing on assignment with us, are we? We already have one.
That's up to the captain. That's not my call.
Well, I'll be having a word with the captain.
I am good with gathering.
And right then, over the intercom, you hear, Eon 1 crew, to Lars's office.
Well, I pick up my stuff and take my dishes to wherever they're assigned. I'm assuming some kind of bus tray, and see y'all there. You can show Vaughn the way.
So, Vaughn, these battery-operated enhancements that you mentioned. You just hear her voice trailing off.
And I think this is a good place for us to stop this particular episode. That just feels like a good ending point right there. So thank you all so much, Patreon and Ko-fi supporters. We hope that you like this new show that we're doing. We're very excited for it. Just remind everybody where each of our wonderful cast is at. Let's start with Janine.
Hi, I'm Janine, I'm Janine. You can find me on Twitter at JustXJ9.
I'm Chrissy, and you can find me on Twitter as Chrissy in Color.
Hey, I'm Michelle, and you can find me on most of the socials as at Michulu.
Hello, I'm Candace. You can find me at the Candace Marie on Twitter and Blue Sky.
And I'm Wes, and you can find me at Plate Mail Games all over the place. Thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time on more Beyond the Outer. Bye.
Bye.